You're with Lori Dubose as we welcome Cliff McCollum from the Baldwin County Legislative District Office. Good morning, Cliff.
Good morning, Lori.
You're from the government and you're here to help.
I am indeed.
You actually assist all of our lawmakers that are here in Baldwin County.
Yeah.
Representing the state. Give us the list of all your bosses so everybody is aware of what we're speaking of.
Okay, so, well, right now we've got... Of course, Representative Simpson, Matt Simpson out of Daphne, is the chairman of our delegation. Then Representative Steve McMillan, who was the longest-serving member of our delegation, been there actually 6 years longer than I have been alive as a person. And we're losing Representative McMillan this year. He is going to be retiring, as is Representative Shiver up in North Baldwin. Representative Baker, who's kind of got the eastern half of Baldwin County. And then... of course, our very own Representative Joe Faust here in Fairhope. And then for our senators, we've got Greg Albritton representing like the north half of the county. And then we've got our friend Chris Elliott representing District 32, which is kind of the eastern shore and South Baldwin. We call it, you know, call it the L because it looks like an L.
And you said right now,
right,
because
now
they have been in a special session.
I just got done last week, in fact.
And they're looking at redistricting because of the new census figures. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. We absolutely had to redistrict. And so it looks like Baldwin County is going to be picking up a senator as well as two House seats coming into Baldwin County as well.
Three new positions.
Well, okay, so what's happening is in the House up in North Baldwin, the Baymanette area, because Representative Shiver was retiring and you don't have an incumbent there, and there's been way more growth in other, like the southern and eastern shore part of the county, those districts had to shrink a little bit. That district had to come down some. And there was some population loss in districts kind of above us. So Representative Shane Stringer is pushing over into some of the northwestern part of Baldwin County. He's out of Mobile. And then Representative Brett Easterbrook's district is also coming down from a little bit north of there and pushing into like the far north Baldwin County, think Stockton, Little River, Tensaw area, and getting like the tippy top of Baymanette. So we've got two House seats that are kind of coming in. It would not surprise me to see some Baldwin County residents might want to try to run for those seats. I've been hearing some names. I'm not going to throw rumors out there because that's not my job, not my speculation anymore.
Is there a map? Is there somewhere we can look? And is this a done deal?
Yeah, they voted on it, and the governor signed it last week.
Got
and
it.
Lori, I'll tell you what, I have got copies of the maps, and I will send them to you, and you can put them on the Facebook page.
Okay. Yeah. Is there a place we can go look at them online?
Yeah, there is, and actually you can zoom in and see where you are.
Okay.
In fact, they even had some of the alternate maps that were proposed. In fact, you know what? I'll brag on him a little bit, although it was a very weird map. Representative Jeremy Gray, who is a House rep, Democratic House rep from Opelika, and a high school classmate of mine. Jeremy and I have known each other, I think, literally our entire lives. Jeremy had proposed an alternate map for at least the House districts that was more geographically and like... you know, he's a Democrat, so it was proposed to be a little bit more friendly to the Democrats there. It was a very interesting map, and it's worth taking a look at, and I'll send it to you as well, because one of the districts that it had put together was the weirdest one I'd ever seen. Chip Brown, who is a House rep over in Mobile County, he has like Dolphin Island and kind of the south part of Mobile County, they had pushed him over to where he basically was the House representative from Beach. Because he moved, his district was from Dolphin Island all the way over to basically the Floribama, and then came up, and even it would have pulled me, because you know I'm out there in the good historic People's Republic of Barnwell, it actually would have pushed me into his district, and that would have been a very weird fit, because living in Dolphin Island and having to get over to that part of the district, I mean, Lori, you know it takes a good bit of time from get from Dolphin Island down here to Fairhope.
But that didn't pass.
It did not. That
okay.
was an I was a proposed alternate. It was a, it's just as a politics nerd, it's just it's an interesting map to look at and see, because you're like, how on earth does this possibly make any sense
right.
whatsoever?
All right, I just Googled Alabama redistricting or district maps, and I came up with sos.alabama.gov state district maps.
Pull up
congressional districts, state senate.
Pull up the state senate district map, and I'll tell you whether or not that site's been updated.
This one said 2021 after the legislative session.
Oh, well, good. Hey.
So let me try that.
Good for that. You know what? And that's good for John Merrill and his team there. In fact, I have a feeling that's probably our old friend David Brewer, formerly the Baldwin County administrator before he went to go work for the Secretary of State's office. They run a really good ship.
I Googled Alabama redistricting maps, and it popped up 2021. So are we looking at state senate and congressional, correct?
State senate, congressional, state house
state
districts
senate
change,
map.
And the, scroll down a little, and then the state school board maps changed. And you see on that senate map there where that little bit of bluey purple is pushing over into Baldwin County.
Right.
That is Senator Vivian Figure's district.
Yeah, I'm not sure how to read this yet.
And that's the thing.
Okay.
I've got a better map that I'll send you that you can zoom in a little bit more on.
Okay.
But in the Senate, they're going to push Senator Figure's from Mobile over some into Spanish Fort. In fact, I think she is taking several of the Spanish Fort districts from Senator Elliott, who... District 32, which is that L, Eastern Shore and the south part of the county, that district had to shrink a lot because it was the fastest growing Senate district in the state. And you have to have proportional representation.
Yeah, this is a federal rule that you have to have, like you said, proportional representation based on population. So you're having to draw some funny lines in order to include everyone.
Oh, 100%. And what they try to do with this is make sure that they're taking entire precincts or you know, where you go vote is your voter precinct. So, like, I go vote out there at the Barnwell Fire Department. You probably vote, given where you live. I'm guessing you vote at the Fairup Civic Center. They try to make sure that they're getting everybody in one of those precincts into the same district, because you don't want to have the nightmare of when you're going to go vote having to have multiple ballots based on, oh, okay, you're in this Senate district,
right,
or this. And so they try to keep those as tight as possible. So the map, that district got a lot smaller, and Senator Figure's pushed over here into Baldwin County. So we will have now 7 House seats and 3 senators as members of the Baldwin County delegation. And looks like we're going to have our first Democrat with Senator Figures pushing over and saying she's going to run again. So,
okay. And when is the... So this is in effect now for the next election, and when is that?
It'll be in June. I can't remember the exact date. The primary is in June, and as you know, in Baldwin County, most of the time, the Republican primary is the general election, almost always. So, and then the, of course, the actual election will be in November. And then with the state legislature, the day after the election, if everything's been certified and you know, there's a win, they are sworn in and take office that very next day after the election.
Okay.
Whereas, you know, with the commission and some of the other elected bodies, usually not until like January or something does that term begin.
We're speaking with Cliff McCollum from the Baldwin County Legislative District Office here at WABF. It is 8:39, 59 degrees, getting in the mid-70s, and then it's getting cold.
Now, see, y'all skinny folk, y'all can't handle the cold, Lori. Y'all just can't. Whereas I work on the walrus principle.
I don't know. You're shrinking.
I've got enough bigness in me to where, you know, this is about 20, 30 degrees right here. I am never cold.
You're shrinking.
Well, I will say I've lost about 60 since May.
Good
and it's
for
been,
you.
It's been nice.
Proud of you. I want to talk next about a bill to prevent vaccine mandates in Alabama. That's a big hot topic. Let's take a break and check in with traffic and weather, and then we will do that. And let's check in now with Kenny. We had an issue earlier in Fairhope on 98 and 104.
From the Spring Hill Toyota Traffic Center, looks like we've got an accident still on the eastern shore on Highway 98 at Highway 104 in Fairhope, blocking the center turn lane. Police are on the scene. Beyond that, in Mobile, accidents overlook at Moffitt and Airport and Dawes being worked by Mobile Police. And Highway Patrol is at Highway 98 at Snow Road, an accident involving three vehicles. But all of these accidents are fender benders. The Cart Doctor, 5683 Highway 90 West in Theodore, is a full-service golf cart repair and maintenance shop servicing golf carts of all makes and models.
Column from the Baldwin County Legislative Office. And let's talk now about a no vaccine mandate bill that passed. I think Chris Elliott sponsored one. There was another one out there, too. What wound up happening?
Well, what wound up happening is there were two bills involving vaccines that ended up passing during the special session. And it's worth noting, that was not actually part of the call for this special session. What the governor put in the call letter was to deal with redistricting.
Redistricting only, wasn't it?
And to distribute some of the American Relief Program funds, which I just call it the corona money. It's the COVID money.
Right.
To distribute some of the COVID money further out to our hospitals and some of our nursing homes across the state who have had some financial burdens due to that COVID crisis.
So she actually acquiesced to the pressure to address this.
Well, what happened is if you have a two-thirds vote of both houses to add... You know, if both of them pass it with more than two-thirds of the members saying, hey, we're in favor of this, you can add stuff in a special session that's not necessarily in the call. So this was actually your state legislators going, we're hearing from the people on this. They want us to address this.
So they overruled her in order to do this.
And then she acquiesced and ended up signing the bills. So.
Good, good. So what? So we had two pass?
We did. There was one from Senator Orr that kind of gave some teeth to that vaccine passport bill that passed in the regular session earlier this year that was the vaccine passport ban.
And what was that? That was you not required to have a vaccine to travel?
You're not required. Businesses or places aren't allowed to make you show your vaccine card.
Okay,
to be able
that's
to get
right.
Out.
That's right. But the word passport confused me. Okay.
And so it gave some teeth to that in terms of enforcement and some penalties there
to a business that would want to try to do that.
Correct.
So you can't come in without a vaccine card. Okay.
And then that was Senator Orr's bill, and then Senator Elliott, our own Senator Chris Elliott, had SB9. I can't remember what its act name is now. It's five something.
That's okay.
But this extended the exemptions for vaccination for COVID stuff. So you are allowed to submit a form to your employer that says, I am not getting the COVID vaccine because, and there was a laundry list of different exemptions.
Oh, I want to see that.
So there's a religious exemption. There is...
what was it called? Alabama Senate Bill?
Just Alabama SB9.
And SB9.
So there was a religious exemption. There's a my doctor doesn't believe, like your doctor would have to, could send a note and said, I don't believe they should get the shot because of this underlying health condition. There was one in there, if you've had COVID in the last 12 months, you could check that. There were some, if you were allergic to different ingredients that are in the vaccine.
Was there one saying, you know, we think that the government's going to use it to poison us and make us robots one day? I mean, you know, does it matter why? Can we just not have our freedom of choice no matter what the reason?
Well, look, I think this federal mandate, and you're seeing this come through the courts, it is a vastly unconstitutional overreach on the part of the Biden administration, and you're seeing that pushback in the courts where they're stopping it. But it's one of these situations where you know there's going to be a court battle. And this gives our people some cover, gives especially the workers in our state some cover to be able to say, hey, I'm not okay with this, and I'm not, you know, especially with the natural immunity thing, if you've had COVID in the last, you know, 12 months, you should still have the antibodies. You should still be protected as if you were vaccinated. Now,
today, now more than ever, it makes sense. More and more studies are showing that the vaccinated are still spreading the virus. So,
Well, you know, and it's like that with just about anything. You know, we, you can be vaccinated from the flu and still get carry the flu.
I'm looking for the list. I'm not having any luck.
It's if you look at the enrolled version of the bill, just click that top little red link, go down a little further. I'm sure this is fascinating for the listeners.
Right,
on status.
Yeah.
That red link.
Latest
right there.
Bill text. Okay.
And so they're listed in there.
Well, what we can do, too, is we might talk about this some in Swap Shop, because I have other sponsored things to do this morning in this portion of the program. But so that passed.
It did.
So if an employee has their employer, what about, like, say, all the medical hospitals? And is it too late? Is it retroactive?
It's not retroactive. No, you really can't do that a lot with bills.
I understand.
It will help protect our folks here forward. There have been some movement in the court system. There have been some temporary injunctions filed against this mandate. This is one of those things where I don't think you're ever actually going to see this thing really take effect governmentally, because the courts are just going to keep injunction.
What, the federal mandate?
Yeah.
Well, except for it already has, because thousands and thousands of people are losing their jobs over it nationwide.
That is businesses taking it upon themselves to go ahead and comply with something that hasn't actually been put into policy yet.
Well, I thought we had an effective date of what, December 1st?
They have said that, but they only just released the actual OSHA policy, I think, late last week. So that's why you haven't seen lawsuits coming from the state attorney generals. You know, A.G. Marshall.
We have one here.
That's what I'm saying. A.G. Marshall had been waiting for them to actually put pen to paper and drop a policy so they could sue, because you can't sue a speech.
Right.
So
it's got to be in
and so
place.
You've had these businesses going ahead and pushing forward with doing this mandate thing that there wasn't actually a true governmental policy in place when they started to take those actions. So really, that's the businesses complying before they have to comply.
Well, the fear of losing federal funding, I think, is motivating factor.
Oh, yeah, no. Money.
Okay. All right. Well, Cliff, you are going to stick around for Swap Shop?
Of course.
Okay. Now, we do usually touch on a bit lighter note in Swap Shop. However, I do want to get in more about this SB9 vaccine bill passed just last week in the special session, right?
Last Thursday, yeah.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. We'll look forward to talking about that and having some Friday fun and fanatics on Swap Shop from 9:05 until 10 a.m. Cliff McCollum from our Baldwin County Legislative District office joining us the second Friday of each month on Community Contact. If you missed part of it,